an apology of sorts. The apology has to do with the duty roster. Number one, the dates are wrong, okay? Today is not the 3rd or the 10th, okay? So that's the first thing, okay? The second thing is I will get that updated, and I appreciate everybody's flexibility there. I'll repost that to Facebook, and hopefully somebody can get me straightened out. The announcement part of it is this coming Wednesday, we will have Mr. Jay Wilson joining us on the Zoom call, and he will be having a question and answer session for us. So have your questions ready to go. Encourage you to, you won't catch them off guard. Okay, so I encourage you to have your questions ready. Have between now and Wednesday to look forward to that. So Wednesday, 7 o'clock, our normal Zoom number and time. And Mr. Wilson will be on there answering the questions for the majority of the hour.
Those questions pertaining to James?
No, open topic. Oh, whatever you got. Yep. So questions on anything that you have, any Bible questions you got. Additionally, I'll say this here as well. The week after that, we'll have a special message by Mike Ferguson on the Zoom meeting. I'm looking forward to having Mike speak to us the following week. And then Nolan Toole is going to be coming at us the week following that. And then the plan at this point is the following week we'll be back together on Wednesday nights. That's kind of the hope. If everything continues on the way that it has been going, we'll be able to get back together midweek. What would that, whatever day that would, don't ask me about days today, okay? So it's this week, Mr. Wilson, the following week, Mr. Ferguson, and then the following week, Mr. Toole, and then we'll be back together here. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I've got something that that might scare you. Last week, we got through my first of 7 points, so we got through point number 1, and so we have points 2 through 7 to do today. But don't let it scare you too much, because point number 1 was like a page and a half, and points 2 through 7 are also like a page. So don't be in fear. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful for this assembly time. I do pray that you would bless it. Pray that we would take your scripture to heart, that we would make personal application in our lives. I just pray that the words that I speak this afternoon might give honor and glory to King Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. So, last week we talked specifically about kind of verse 12 and the first part of verse 13, okay, that there's a request that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. I'm not going to rehash all of that. Basically, leadership needs to be tested and trusted. Leadership needs to be tested and trusted leadership. And then Christianity is a system of intelligent submission. Okay, and so there's an appreciation that is important, okay, that we appreciate those who diligently work and labor among us. And one of the best ways to appreciate those who diligently work and labor among us is to live in peace with one another. There is a job to do, and that job is important for all of us and the body of Christ to do our part in making that job happen. And so as leadership, one of the things, when there's a job to do, is one of the things that can be the most discouraging is to get distracted by things that don't have anything to do with getting the job done. And so one of the things that the scripture is pointing out here is live in peace with one another. That's not just good for leadership, okay? It's like, nah, it's not, this isn't just everybody, you know, be happy and get along. You know what? If you be happy and get along, it actually works out really good for you too, right? So this is pretty, live in peace with one another. Admonish the unruly. Admonish the unruly. The importance here, another way to put this is don't be out of order. Don't be out of order. It's actually a military term that's used here, and it's about staying in rank. Okay, admonish the unruly. This could also be translated undisciplined. And so there's an admonishment as we're looking at, and we urge you, brethren, that means all of us, right? We urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly. Hey, if somebody's getting out of line, hey, let's get back in line. You know, an admonishment isn't quite a rebuke. What's that? A rebuke. Let's try that again. Speaking English is difficult sometimes. That's why I haven't tried any other languages. Okay. It's not a rebuke. Hey, it's an admonishment. Hey, let's get going the right path. It's, hey, we need to be going in this direction because of the job that needs to be done. And so it's admonish the unruly. One of the things that's interesting in the book 1 Thessalonians in particular is remember that Paul and the Holy Spirit connect sobriety to the seriousness of the mission. In verse 6 there of 1 Thessalonians 5, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep, do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Sobriety is connected to the mission. We are to be of sound mind with all of our faculties intact because of the job that there is to do. And so the stakes are too high for a lack of discipline. So it says, admonish the unruly. You know, our kids get out of hand. They need a little bit of admonishment, right? Hey, we're getting out of line. We're getting unruly. It's causing a distraction for the things that need to get done. And so on an individual level, I think the challenge for us is to have conscientious consideration replace unruliness. And I think that that's a sign of maturity for us as individual Christians, and I think that that's a sign of maturity in our kids when conscientious consideration replaces unruliness. Undisciplined children have a tendency to do what they think is fun, when they think it is fun, and how they think it would be fun. That's basically their consideration. This is what I want to do, therefore I'm going to do it. Well, we've seen that in the body of Christ before too, right? This is what I think is right, or this is what I think I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it no matter what the consequences of those things are. And so undisciplined children have a tendency to do those things without consideration as to how they affect everybody else. Adults, on the other hand, both Christian adults and physical adults, tend to their responsibilities, hold to their commitments, and think ahead so as to how to prepare themselves and the ones that they care about. Adults have, they look towards what are we going to be prepared for what we might not see right now? See, one of the things that's particularly interesting is nobody could have predicted coronavirus, right? If you could have, I think it was probably, nobody could. And what's interesting about that, though, is the more responsible that we lived in our overall lifestyle, the more prepared we are for any crisis that comes up, right? If you're going to handle things responsibly is going to make you more prepared for the crises that come up. In the same way, spiritually, it's not just about, hey, this works for me, this works for my family. Okay, how can we prepare one another for any crises that may come up? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Again, because it's about getting the job, getting the mission accomplished. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. Well, we want to be wise children. We want to grow up and help one another to grow up, not to live in a manner of unruliness. So that's going to take some wise integration. One of the things, I don't know if you've ever spent a significant amount of time with any other family, but one of the things that's kind of interesting is that each individual family has their way of doing things. And their way of doing things seems completely, totally, and utterly normal to them because it's their family. And that's the way they do things. But then you bring somebody in from the outside and place them into that family who is not used to the way that that family does things. And they're kind of sitting there shaking their head like, these people are absolutely nuts. Because that's not what they came from, right? Because we're all coming from different family backgrounds, and what normal looks like to any one of us is going to be different, right? Well, in that same way, in the family of God, one of the things that we need to pay particular attention to is wise integration. As people come in from the world and from worldly culture, we want to wisely integrate them into the kingdom culture. There's going to be some culture shock for them, and there are going to be some things that are probably going to be a little bit disruptive to the family. It's important that we're okay with that. We understand that that's part of the process of us doing the job that we're supposed to be doing, is that there's going to be some disruption in the family. There's going to be some disruption in the kingdom culture, and that's okay, because there's always bumps when you're integrating somebody new into the family. It doesn't mean that the new family member is broken and flawed and irreparable, okay? It also doesn't mean that the worldly culture gets to become the kingdom culture, okay? But there is friction in making them a part of our family culture. So wise integration. So that's where it's important to know the difference between unruliness and friction in culture. Right? Because there's the kid that's just learning, and then there's the kid that ought to know better. And you don't treat the kid that ought to know better the same as the kid who's just learning. The kid who's just learning, like, hey, actually, let's have a little chat. You know, the kid who ought to know better, treat him a little different, right? So, you know, we want to make sure that we are wisely integrating and admonishing the unruly. That was that point right there. See, it didn't take that long. Okay. Encourage the faint-hearted. Encourage the faint-hearted. God has tremendously designed the body of Christ. And so he's done that in such a way so that we can help one another on our way to heaven. And as we talked about in James chapter 5, we talked about praying for one another so that you may be healed. God brings healing within community. The very first thing that God does is he brings us into community with Jesus Christ. The next thing that he does is he places us in the family of Christ, that family culture. Well, that family culture is intended to bring it's intended to bring healing, and it's intended to bring a sense of fellowship together so that we can help one another from whatever place where we were coming from into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, the body of Jesus Christ is a place for us to be healed. It is a place for us to be bound up. It is a place for us to look more and more like Jesus from whatever habits we're coming from. And so the faint-hearted actually need genuine encouragement. Those people, they don't need so much rebuke or even admonition in this case, but rather real, genuine, heartfelt encouragement. So there's a strengthening of our heart, putting on the breastplate of righteousness that is important here, that we encourage the faint-hearted because we want to help them to make it. Remember that the only people who are going to heaven is those who overcome. Those who overcome. Now, there's some steps that if you don't take those steps, you aren't getting to heaven, right? But just because you've completed those steps does not mean that, I'm home free, right? It's to him who overcomes. Well, guess what? Within this journey of overcoming, are there some times where there's some opportunity to have weak hearts, to struggle, to get discouraged? Yeah, it's possible. So encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. It's my third point for today for anybody who's keeping track. Okay. I like to know where I'm at. You know what I mean? See, it's 3:41. That lets me know where I'm at. Okay. Help the weak. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Verses 1-3. Isaiah 35:1-3 is a beautiful picture of the Lord's church. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. And they will see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. I'm going to encourage you to read the rest of that chapter, but it's a picture of the Lord's church, those who are actually able to see the glory of God. And within this picture of how refreshing it is to be part of the Lord's church, it says, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious hearts, not anxious carts, but rather anxious hearts. Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. I really appreciated Jeremy's thoughts during the Lord's table. That five for five concept that he brought out. Is anxiety a problem? Yeah. And so, what the anxious heart doesn't need is condemnation. The anxious heart needs some encouragement. Take courage. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The Lord wants to encourage us. The Lord wants us to move forward, to move on, to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12:12-13. Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths to your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. This is what God is looking at from us. Another passage here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. And verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Now, go ahead and let's read 3-5 here, because a lot of times these verses don't get read together. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. Wait, bear one another's burdens or bear his own load? Which one is it? It's both. Because, you know, bear his own load. There are certain things that I am not able to carry on my own. I need help carrying those things. Okay, when you're doing a moving project, okay, I don't know about you, but my experience is that trying to carry a refrigerator by yourself does not work very well. Okay, you need somebody else to be on the other side of that refrigerator, and then you got to be careful about. But anyway, in this example, okay, you need somebody else helping you to carry that refrigerator. But you are to carry, let's say, the contents of that refrigerator on your own. You've got a knapsack. Each one of us has a knapsack. We have our own personal responsibilities, and we are to take care of those personal responsibilities, and it's not Davy's problem to take care of my personal responsibilities. When I say, oh, bear ye one another's burdens, so Davy, I'm having trouble with, you know, whatever. You know, I need my oil changed. I don't change my own oil. I need my oil changed, so Davy, you know, it's not Davy's problem, is it? This is my knapsack. Can I handle, you know, Tuesday, I'm getting my oil changed, E&H Auto Clinic, okay, better than me doing it myself, okay? I'm taking care of that on my own, okay? But there are certainly refrigerators that we have, and we need to make sure that we're helping one another move the refrigerators when the refrigerators need moved. So bear your own burden. Each person bear his own load, but also be willing to help other people with their refrigerators. You can't carry the refrigerator by yourself. And so bear ye one another's burdens. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Ephesians 5. Point 4. Be patient with everyone. Ephesians 5. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Let's just stop right there. Be imitators of God as beloved children. One of the things that we need to not lose sight of is the fact that Jesus came in the flesh. And he came in the flesh as an example for us to show us what Jesus in the flesh, what the Holy Spirit in the flesh can accomplish. And so think about God's patience with you first. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that God has been patient with me. And I'm sure glad that certain things in my life that could have come back to bite me haven't. You know, I think that there's a lot of different ways that each one of us can see in our own lives individually where things could have gone maybe just a little bit differently, and what a disaster that could have been for us. And that's probably exactly the thing that we had coming. But, hey, I'm glad for God's patience with me. And then I also think about Peter. I think about God's patience with Peter. You know, hey, he's denying Jesus 3 times. I think about Jesus' patience with Judas as he gets to sit there with him with the Lord's Supper and Jesus is washing his feet. You know, I think if Jesus could be patient with Judas knowing exactly what's going to come, then probably we can be patient with one another. What do you think? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verses 23. Matthew 18, 23. Matthew 18, 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven, and that's the church, right? Everybody who was there for Sunday school. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe me." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you have not also had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. We can be patient with our fellow slaves, can't we? We understand that by comparison, the Lord has forgiven us much. He's forgiven us all. We can be patient with one another. He gave us an example for us to follow in his steps, didn't he? Point number five, do not repay evil for evil. You know, in situations where there are unruly family members, evil can sometimes come in even to the Lord's church. Evil can sometimes be done. Don't answer in that way. Understand that the mission is greater than personality. Jesus knew all about this. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Lastly, good for one another, it's good for all. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Are we considering one another more highly than ourselves? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we considering one another more highly than ourselves? Christianity is lived out. Christianity is lived out. Christianity is not just a set of theories that I agree to adhere to theoretically. Christianity is lived out. And so do we consider one another more highly than ourselves? I think for all of us, we have a tendency to care way too much about our own opinions. Like, my opinions are awesome. Right? If I didn't think that my opinions were awesome, I wouldn't have them. Right? It's like people who say, you always think you're right. Well, I don't set out to be wrong. But, okay, I think we all have a tendency to love our own opinions a little bit too much. You know, you've all heard the trope, opinions are like armpits, right? We each have two of them and they generally stink. You know, in the body of Christ, there's a recognition that it needs to be good for one another and good for all. We need to look for the good in others, and instead of elevating our own opinions, elevate the Word of God and the culture of care that we have for one another. That's what we're looking to do. Look for the good in other people. Finally, Christianity is eminently practical. It is our whole lives, and it is the whole of our lives. And so, when we're looking at these principles that the Apostle Paul is laying out here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if we don't make the practical application, the theory doesn't do us any good. Christianity does need to be our whole lives and the whole of our lives. Let's take the Lord's direction in fulfilling that. Jeremy?
223.